Get your fix with the Uncommon Cast RX, your cure for the Kamen Rider show. Join us as we discuss the bravest of all the fighters, and those Heisei guys too. With burning justice in our souls, let's tear it up!
I'm Amit, the soul-eating critic, Duat Pink.
I'm Sono, the incredibly hyped critic, Duat Green.
Emissary of Hell, Spoilerman!
This is Uncommon Cast RX 126, Lovely Naivete. Join us as we take a critical eye to Kamen Rider Ghost, will Takeru save himself and the Kamen Rider franchise in the 22 days he has left on this blue planet? Find out how we think he's doing as we pass judgment on Kamen Rider Ghost 11, Magnificent, the Divine Eye.
He's doing a pretty good job of saving the franchise so far.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Looks like Aleph was right with his prediction. Like, this would be the rider that resurrects riders.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still plenty of time for this to go horribly, horribly wrong, but...
That's true, but...
I want to believe that it won't.
Hey, at least the first 10 or 11 episodes of this show is still better than, like, the whole 2 years of all of those previous ones.
Pretty much.
I just needed to beat out Gaim because, like, Gaim had a pretty solid, like, 10 or 11 episode run, I think, in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it went south.
No, it didn't. Gaim was never good.
Okay.
I did like some episodes, but...
I liked one episode. That was literally not about the main plot at all.
Well, that can be an uncommon fight for another day where I defend... never mind. I'm not defending Trash Fruit.
No, the uncommon fight is when I fight all of you about Double.
This is true.
I'll have time soon. It's going to happen.
Oh, no. I was so happy for you until I just realized that, so we're going to be in trouble.
Oh, dear.
But really, let's go ahead and get started on discussing the macro messages we... possibly somehow got out of this episode. It might have been tough. I'll go ahead and start. I don't really think I can glean a direct message from the episode, but I think the marked shift in Makoto's attitude after Takeru saved Kenan serves as a clear demonstration that sometimes people need to have their needs met in order to fully function as a person. Fear, distress, and trauma can twist a heart into something rigid, jagged, and impenetrable. And that can be undone by love and kindness. And I think that's something really cool and important that we see in this episode, if it's not, like, the message.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also not sure I can put a real kind of macro thing into this episode, just because it was very much kind of a climax of the plot thus far. But I think there's kind of a good underlayer of not giving up hope, even when things seem hopeless. And there are bits of that I think could be executed a little better that I'll get to down the line. But, I mean, both Takeru and, to a greater extent, Makoto lost hold of what they needed to reach their goal entirely. But in the end, it all came through for them. And there's also just this nice bit of it's okay to rely on others for Makoto in his reconciling with Takeru, which is a favorite fallback message of mine.
Mm. And I liked the episode. It was good. I have nothing else really to add because there really wasn't much of a message, so much as like you said, it's a climax to like to all these plot threads that have been going around. So yeah.
Okay. Well, since there's more
well,
to say,
you know, outside the message of the obvious message of, you know, saving others, always taking care of your friends and, you know, all that basic good stuff.
All the good hero stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, that's enough of the good stuff. Let's get into the bones. What issues did you have with this episode? What didn't work and why? I'll let you two go and then I'll share what I have to say.
Okay, so Sionji is just maybe dead now? I mean, I find that hard to believe because that seems like way too easy of a write-off for this staff. And I trust them, so I have a feeling there's more to his weird dissolving than just killing two birds with one stone in getting rid of a villain and making a point about needing the belts to make a wish. But it still felt really sudden and awkward for me, Because we end 10 on Sionji stealing the icons. I expected at least, like, a fight to try and get them back, but there was just nothing. Just Takeru getting his wish anyway without having to kind of really make that last push to fight for it. He didn't even have to fight off Makoto. Though I can kind of understand that in a way, because I, you know, with how Takeru was determined on going, he probably would have just let Makoto go to go bring back Kanon. But it just, it felt too easy, even with the fact that clearly something is going wrong with the God Square now. But it was just a weird, rare misstep for this creative team. It felt very sudden and too easy. Where did Goemon come from? I mean, I know, like, he's the new icon that we found at the end of the episode, but he was just in the woods somewhere? Well, Onari just found him in the woods?
I believe, not to take away from any other questions about this, I believe that that was one of the five that Sionji had, and they all got ejected from the God Square Mandala Divine Eye thing.
Okay, that does make sense.
At one time.
That does make sense. Really? We didn't know who he had, but it just felt very weird. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And, like, how do you know what it is, Onari?
Yeah.
Also, with Onari, there was some weird humor that leaned me to kind of knee-jerk toward the stuff we had in Drive. Not nearly as bad as the stuff we had in Drive by any means, but it kind of got my back up a little just because I know Ghost can do better. Also, you know, just saying, I wish Cannon's dress had been a couple inches longer. Just putting that out there.
I fully support longer skirts and dresses.
Just, you know, there was just a lot of shots of her legs that were not egregious. They were just kind of the consequence of the shot and the length of that dress. But I wish the dress had been a little longer.
And that's not because you hate women, right? Let's just get that
clear. Just, you know.
Yeah.
She's got this dress from God.
I
am very, I am not straight.
I don't know because I honestly didn't notice anything, so. So I guess I'll have to watch the episode again to see. No, I won't. But still.
We both went stupid places with this.
I apologize. But anyway. I also agree that Goemon icon just... Like, I kind of thought, like, there was going to be, like, an episode dedicated to that. Maybe there still will be, but, like, it just appearing was still really, like... Huh? Okay, I guess it's there then. Sionji did die literally not even 5 minutes in, and it was really odd, and admittedly does give kind of some precedence for the criticism that this show kind of often gets, which is that it moves a little too fast and a little sloppy.
You know what? I can't deal with that criticism because people spent all of Tokyuger complaining that the entire show was filler. Decide what you want. You get one or the other.
I'll take breakneck speed, personally.
Me too, because personally...
For the record, Tokyuger was not entirely filler, and if you can't tell filler from character development... Please get out of my face.
You should just watch more kids shows, man. It's like you should know already that filler is the most important part of a show.
People don't understand what character development is.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. But personally, yeah, I don't find it bothersome. I agree with Amit there that I rather prefer the faster pace, because honestly, all of like Neo Heisei basically up till now has not that great of a pacing, like I said before. So I'd rather prefer a show that gets done than one that wastes time. And at least the sum of its whole, like of this show at least makes up for like all these sort of mistakes, that it isn't too bothersome to me at least. And it does open, and Sayonji's death does also open the question that how are we gonna fill in the missing backstory behind like the monolith research now that basically all the major characters, all the major players of it we've so far been introduced are literally dead. So
no, the other guy isn't dead.
Which other guy?
He's not dead.
He isn't? Right,
he's alive.
Oh, really? I thought he was dead.
He was just badly injured. But no, they got him out of there alive.
Okay, that's good. Okay, there we go then. That maybe we'll get some answers from him later on. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Remember, sir, slashes to the back are not always fatal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I thought that he was dead when they did that, but they gave him to Onari and was like, Onari, get him out of here.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure if he was dead, they would have just left him there.
Civilian deaths in this show sometimes confuses me. Like, are they dead or are they not dead?
He made it out alive.
Okay. Well, that's that problem resolved, I guess. And this is not really part of the episode, but since it's like kind of is like at the end, like it's about the movie previews. Okay, actually, no, it's the next episode preview, not the movie previews, but it has to do with the movies that it kind of looks like my fears about like the whole Takeru's dad movie power up thing is right. And apparently it's just going to suddenly appear in the show now, and we're just going to have to watch the movie for that. And it's
I really thought Toei was not going to be doing that anymore after the fiasco that was doing that in Drive.
Locking out Kaito's backstory in like books or something.
And locking out literally this huge gaping plot hole in Forze of everyone who was left to die on the M bus.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I'm really bitter about that.
Well, yeah.
That's unfortunately a discussion for another time. I'll go into my only real bone that I had to pick with it, so here I go. The Kandali were gone for far too long. It was a plot contrivance that they weren't tearing up stuff during the amazing character moments that happened, you know, while they were off screen. Maybe there could have been a better explanation for why they weren't rampaging the whole time. Like, Prince Aaron had stopped them as he was working on, or as he was working out what Jevert was doing, or like maybe the Mandala Divine Eye thing. Like, could have knocked them out for a few minutes. Like, that would have been a more clear explanation.
Maybe because they did try to crash into it and got, like, kind of stunned.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I
didn't read it as being that clear. So, like, wait, why are these guys still gone? But I guess that was enough. By the way, does Kami-sama speak with a child's voice, or is it just
he
me?
Sure does.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
I wonder if it's one of them kids from Agito. I thought it was a woman at first. But no, it was definitely a child.
I guess child is the most gender-neutral choice, because you can't really tell if it's a girl or a boy.
No, if it's a child, it's definitely a male child.
Well, okay, yeah.
I thought so, too. Yeah, I could tell. All right, so let's move into women. So I'll go ahead and kick it off, and then I'll step out for a few minutes. Okay, so, like you said, Sarsenine, Womance, we love them. I purposely didn't include the clip last time, okay? I only did the once.
But we have it, if we need it.
This is
true.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, so watch
it. It's like a lever. Oh, no, so it's like a... So it's like whenever... So someday in the future, when I get successful, or maybe, like in the small chance that I get super successful, you can blackmail me with that.
That is a good idea. I hadn't thought of that yet. Thank you.
I thought of it.
Well, thank you, Sino. All right, so here we go. Sinonji's not death was a moment for me. Like, if he is dead, it rocks that he went out like a punk because of his arrogance. I doubt he's dead, though, and I'm procrastinating a little, or prognosticating a little, which I'll get to more later, because I think he'll definitely come back in the show later on, and it'll be spectacular.
I think somewhere someone said, I haven't checked it myself, that apparently his actor already was given the flowers as per these sort of farewell things. So,
I don't remember Sonoda being given flowers though when Scorpio was done. But I don't know. I really don't feel like that's all there is to Sionji.
Yeah. There's got to be something.
Is if they had if they ate their cake and had it too. Which is the right way to say it? Come on, guys. Is if Sionji's character stayed alive, but the actor went out, and then someone else came back as Sionji.
Maybe like a monster form or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe younger Sionji, older Sionji, who knows?
Hey, either would be cool. I have like 8 more, and I'll just blitz through them real fast. The clip scene inside the Divine Eye was beautiful. I'm floored by the craft work to put those things in previous episodes, and then how they were represented here. Like, it just flowed so naturally.
This episode is
the culmination of everything that came before it, and nothing has been wasted. At least that's what I got from it. Takeru is so noble and heroic in giving up his sure bet for Kenan's sake, which I love. Makoto's instant shift from jerky rival to total bro. Awesome. Next thing, all the heroic icon tossing and passing was fun and looked so boss. Double riders in action, amazing to see. Eren's revelation at the end that he's been kept out of the loop was good to see. I'm happy that he's learning this, and I can't wait to see what he does to get back.
Yes.
Captain Ghost attacking the Kundali and killing it with a tail gun was amazing.
I love him.
All right, and then my last thing, and then I'll step out for a few minutes. Makoto riding up the Gundali's back was just so friggin' awesome.
Yes. So
motorcycles.
Good. Yes. Everything about Makoto in this episode, just all of the guilt comes crashing down on him, including the guilt that he's been bottling up over having to fight with Takeru. I'm hugely weak for both the hopeless regaining hope and siblings. So Makoto finding Kanon, like, with Makoto losing her icon and then finding her with everyone, and that whole scene of them being reunited and them, like, walking away together at the end just completely tore me up. That is everything that I'm weak for. I would have liked to see more of Kanon being, like, a huge badass as an icon, but whatever, this is fine. The show is basically playing into everything that I want. I just want to see more of Kanon being a badass and kind of, you know, giving Makoto the business. Akari spent this whole episode with an untreated sprained ankle, and she still got an incredible amount of shit done. Like, finding icons, protecting Kanon, worrying about Takeru, running all over Hell's Half Acre. You cannot stop Akari.
Yeah.
That girl's gonna get things done. Also, she gave Kanon her coat. Kanon leaves the episode with Akari's coat, and I don't know why I'm so excited about this. I just want more of the two girls in this show hanging out together and doing things and being great, because I love them both. We are getting some real juicy villain drama with Eren and Javert, and I'm very, very into it. Just Eren, I don't know what we're calling him at this point, at the end of the episode where he's like, Javert, no. I don't know how I feel about this. I need to consider my emotions. Stop fighting my pet Kamen Rider. I need to figure this out first.
Those villain dramas, they're always the best parts.
I need a lady villain, but I'm still really into it. Poor Yurisen. Yurisen is trying so hard. They really are. The sheer existence of Captain Ghost. I'm excited anytime Captain Ghost shows up because he is perfect and I love him and he beat up a whole Kundali flying dragon eel thing by himself and I love him.
It was pretty amazing.
This is more movie related, but we just see Kiriko wailing on the ghost mooks in the movie preview in the opening.
Yeah.
No weapons, no guns, just hands and feet destroying. And I am so proud of her.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, after like 30 or so episodes of the show.
Yeah, I feel like we definitely have the ghost staff writing this movie. Also in the ending preview, we see Akari and Rina, like, I don't know what they're holding, but they both look like they're charging into battle together, so I'm pretty sure they're going to hang out in this movie like everyone wants them to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we should actually gather all, like, the scientist women of all these Kamen Rider shows and make a spin-off about them.
What do you think I spend my life thinking about?
Yeah.
What do you think I spend every minute of every day thinking about?
Oh, man, you should check out Kamen Rider Spirits, that comic, because introduced this.
I read up to the first Stronger chapter, and I couldn't deal with that. I couldn't deal with all of the tackle stuff at the time. I'm like, nope, I don't have the emotional capacity for this right now. I am leaving.
It's actually kind of weird, because Kamen Rider Spirits, I feel, like, overall, like, outside the tackle stuff, is probably, like, one of the better Kamen Riders in terms of treating women, because it actually has a lot of,
I mean,
really
it's
cool
not really
characters.
Spirit's fault.
It really isn't Spirit's fault.
Yeah, that's not really their fault. That just kind of happened.
It's
beyond their control.
It's basically Spirit's trying to cover Toei's ass, and the whole issue is that whether or not you think that's an ass that should be covered. So,
Yeah. But I'm just excited about women in Ghosts. I need a villain lady though. Come on.
Yeah, maybe. Oh,
you
maybe
owe
soon.
Past 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I have Doggy and Swan being canon now, but you still owe me.
Yeah. Oh man.
I can't believe Doggy and Swan are canon now.
Anyway, so it's my turn now. Wow, things are happening. I really like how there's like more breadcrumbs and intrigue. Like all the, like from like just the dialogue, we just start to learn more things, but also like getting more interesting story implications about all these, like how, you know, the Javert and Aran, they don't really know what the thing with the icons are. Oh, Sade is playing kind of his own game now here, clearly playing his own game. And, what is this mandala thing? What's it for? Who made it? Or, like, what it's, like, what, how it was made or something. Like, it doesn't spell anything out. Like, it doesn't bluntly spell out that, oh, this is a mystery. You pay attention to this mystery now. It's more like this sort of thing where it's just really subtly done than I think most Neo Heisei shows do. Like, I just like now think of like Gaim and, you know, that part where Michi was looking over the cliff where it's like, oh, something horrible is happening.
Please,
but we won't
please
show
just
what
shove Michi off the cliff.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the worst.
He is the worst.
Yeah. That mystery, that wasn't even an interesting mystery, as
it
turns out.
That wasn't even an interesting mystery, he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
I hate guys.
It's like, but this time it's like the mystery isn't like just shoved in your face, it's more like the sort of thing that builds up, and you get like satisfactory enough like sort of little clues that gets you kind of like invested and still kind of get behind what is going on, but still more like, I want to follow this through, like see what all things is happening. It's just really well done, I think. It's really good. I guess that's what happens when you get a guy who wrote so many detective shows. And
or a guy who's a good writer.
Yeah. Well, and
yeah, that helps too.
I'm gonna fight Urobuchi. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go to Japan and fight him.
Oh dear, I think I've heard somewhere that he's probably gonna work on Concrete Revolution.
No, he's not.
Next season.
No, he's not. He's not. I don't know. He's not allowed to.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to. This is Sho Aikawa's. Please don't take something from my favorite writer and give it to my least favorite writer.
Yeah, I feel. But, yeah, really good. But this episode just had a really great first half. Not that the second half was bad, but, like, the first half, like, with all, like, the, you know, Makoto's emotional scenes, it's just really well done, really well delivered.
God, that boy can cry.
Yeah, he really really well acted, those scenes are. And really well shot, too, actually.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I feel like I heard, like, some people, it's probably, like, a small minority, but I wanted to, for this show, kind of get behind what people are thinking about these ghosts overall. Mm-hmm. So I heard some people have kind of said that the reconciliation between Takeru and Makoto felt a little too quick. But I thought with the characters as presented, it felt pretty okay. It felt right.
The thing is, like, I'm with you on this. I don't feel like it was too quick because I don't think Makoto ever really wanted to fight him.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Makoto never also really never went off the deep end enough for this to come off. Come across as too radical. Like, it isn't like, oh, I killed a guy, but now I'm just here. No, it's just like he fought Takeru a few times.
Yeah,
it wasn't something
like
too extreme.
There was never any point at which he wanted to hate. Like, he was making himself hate Takeru. He's like, no, I'm supposed to hate him right now, so I'm going to hate him. Like, he never believed anything he was saying, because good lord, like, look at him.
Yeah.
Look at every. He never believed a word of what he was saying, and the entire episodes he's in is Cannon just calling him out on his bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Cannon just being like, Makoto, go sit down, calm down. You're being unreasonable.
Yeah.
You need to stop because you don't feel any of this.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, and that's why I feel like, especially with these. Because these scenes were so well done, and plus that, I think there was no problem with me, at least, in believing that, yeah, like, you know, now they're okay with each other. Because, you know, we resolved his biggest issue, and Takeru still has his thing.
Takeru never felt bad about Makoto. He's just like, why does Makoto want to fight me?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought we were friends.
Yeah, exactly.
We're friends, right?
Yeah, he always wants to be, you know, he still wants to be Makoto's friend.
He wants them to be together. He wants to get the band back together.
Yeah, and they're together. So it all works out. It's really good. And, you know, and that's why I also thought that the little interactions between Ghost and Spectre, once they did reconciliate it, I thought was really nice. You know, it's sort of like a little bit... I thought it was really nice, a little bit of this sort of friendly ribbing at each other, but it worked.
They're dudes who have known each other since they were, like, five.
Yeah,
so they're just making fun of each other.
Yeah, yeah, it works out really well. So, excellent job there. And, yeah, the fight between Ghost and Spectre versus Javert.
That was so good.
Yeah.
That was a really good fight.
Yeah, and also multiple rider kicks too. And there was like two or three? Yeah.
Yeah, there was a handful of them, which is not
really good.
Not a norm.
Not a norm, but I'm happy. It's really cool to see. And it was really cool to see that the final monster was at this time around felt by a rider kick and felt by a really special looking rider kick too.
Yes.
Pretty surprised. I was quite surprised, actually, that that those icon ghosts can actually talk, because I always...
That was very surprising. Yeah. I don't know if maybe they can't do it while they're in the icon. Maybe they have to be out as hoodie ghosts.
Yeah.
But that was a – I really loved his big, like, all hoodie rider kick.
Yeah. It felt really – like, if there's ever going to be a moment where they will suddenly talk, I think that was, like, the best moment.
Yeah, no, that's the time to do it. And, I mean, I'm hoping that now we kind of get a little more of that now
we've
had that introduced.
Yeah.
But I can't wait till the end of the show when we're going to get, like, him doing the all hoodie kick with, like, 30 of them.
Yeah. Like, that'd be awesome.
That's going to be fun. Like, everyone's just going to give Takeru their icons so he can do, like, ultimate hoodie kick.
Yeah. And it was also kind of relieving to learn that they probably aren't going to do the find all the 15 icons thing again, because I thought when I saw, like, the whole stem scattering all around.
Oh, God, yeah, no, I was really worried.
I was like, oh, no, are they going to do this again? And no, they found
it's
them
like,
all.
No, they're literally all in our yard. Okay, we just have to run around the yard and find them.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. Yeah, it's all really good. Good episode. I liked it. Enjoyed it.
No, this, it was a really good conclusion to this first arc.
Yeah.
I love Canon.
Mm.
The more Canon exists, the more I love her.
Now that she's alive, we can probably get even more out of her.
Yeah, I know. I ended up seeing a summary of the next arc with some magazine scans, so I know some things that I'm sort of excited about, but sort of maybe not.
Okay.
It depends on how it goes. I don't know what we want me saying, what we don't.
Well, then again,
because I mean, I'm usually you know, always the one advocating against spoilers.
So I mean,
I don't want to say anything without express permission of everyone involved.
Yeah, I feel, I understand. Although I would make the argument that, you know, initially the show itself didn't sound all that special, but look where we are now.
Yeah, so. I mean, like, I trust this creative team. I also am hoping it goes in a direction that I know 100% it will not, because there's absolutely no reason for it to.
Mm.
But it's an idea I've been kicking around since an old fandom I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And it would require me to explain the spoilers, but
okay.
I think it would be an interesting angle. But all in all, I'm very curious to see what they'll do with these things that are coming.
Well,
I trust this creative team.
Hmm.
So even if it's something that I think sounds bad on paper, it could be very good in execution, because Lord knows I thought Gaim sounded really good on paper, and that was in execution.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it really is kind of like this. Like, it's kind of like this, and this show on paper too. Now that we mentioned, like, on paper too is like, oh, collect all the icons. It's like, oh, okay. It's like the sort of collect them all thing. It doesn't sound all that special, but, you know, now it turns out to be a really good show.
Yeah, like, in practice. So I'm willing to trust them on this. It could go in a lot of directions that are really cool. It could maybe finally bring me that lady villain that I've been hoping for. I there's no indication of that. That's just really wishful thinking on my part, because I really want a lady villain.
Mm.
Really, I just want Maya from Kiva to be in this, except as a ghost instead of Vampire.
Yeah.
Because I love Maya. There are problems with Maya, but those are not Maya's fault. Those are Inoue's fault.
Oh, man. Late Heisei Inoue, oh dear.
Oh, man. Late Heisei Inoue is something, but there's also Cutie Honey the Live.
Yeah, but that wasn't Rock Common Rider anymore.
No, but it sure is a thing. My feelings on Cutie Honey the Live are so mixed.
I only watched like the one episode, and it was
no, dude, you've got to watch all of it.
Okay.
He's gotta watch the whole thing.
I don't know. Like, it's kind of...
It's very Cutie Honey, but it's also very not Cutie Honey.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that's the part where it's gonna be, because I really like Cutie Honey. I watch all the shows that there are.
I've seen a couple of the sequel Cutie Honeys. I haven't watched the original one yet.
The original was actually pretty kick ass.
Yeah, no, I've heard it's very good. It's just one of those things where I just haven't gotten to it. But yeah. The sequels are all pretty short, so we were kind of able to fit them into our rotations. Mm. I may suggest we start Cutie Honey once we're done with Gundam, because we're making our way through original Gundam right now.
Oh, okay.
So maybe once we finish that, I'll try and convince them to go for Cutie Honey. But Cutie Honey the Live is sure a thing that exists.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love Kiva, though. I have so many good feelings about Kiva, but I acknowledge that Kiva is so deeply flawed.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of problems in Kiva.
I feel. I have that too with Wizard, because I like Wizard.
See, the
Wizard.
Thing is, I know why Wizard has the problems it has, so yeah. I can excuse all of Wizard's problems.
Okay, so now that we're done discussing our moments, we'll go ahead and move on to the singular question, even though it's like two or three questions really in one line, that I came up with for the section where we discuss icons and how they work and stuff. So here's the question. Can Takeru just re-summon the Mandala Divine Eye, or will Makoto have to do it himself? How does that work? Can the same person get a wish a couple times, et cetera, et cetera?
It's really vague, because Takeru wasn't even the one who summoned it.
This is true.
It was Sionji who summoned it, and then Takeru just got to it first.
Yeah, it was Sionji who summoned it with blue ink.
Yes.
Oh my god, I love... Oh
so,
my
I
god.
Mean, I think it's just whoever has a belt and gets to it first
you know,
gets
I,
the wish.
I forgot one thing to mention in the... I forgot to mention that one thing. He was using eye drops. Like, it was like eye drops Sionji was using on the eyes.
I never made the eye drop connection, but it's a dropper.
I didn't either. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's but, really... I really like that.
Maybe Takeru can summon it, but I don't know if he can get a second wish. Maybe if he goes back in there, God will be like, hey, no, I just talked to you like 20 minutes ago. Get out. So, I mean, maybe Takeru can summon it, and then Makoto can go in. It's very vague on that.
Mm, maybe we'll learn more about it subsequently.
In the near future.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, I didn't, yeah. It was just a question that dawned on me, and I thought, I may as well kick it around a little bit. Yeah, I have no idea what could happen. I'm happy with how vague they left it, though, because it just leaves us, I think, to go into more lore later, and I think it'll be more enjoyable. It was just so dramatic. It had to happen here like this, but I think there's going to be a really good reason behind it.
Yeah, no, and it definitely keeps it open. Like, they didn't write a rule that they have to stick to now.
Yeah.
Which is good, because, I mean, look at every Kamen Rider. We don't do that. So, I mean, it's good to keep it very simple and vague.
Yeah, yeah. I should have probably mentioned this on the part with the whole like story clues and things I was talking about prior, like the whole thing with like the snake. I don't know, maybe it's not really that worth talking about right now anymore, but whatever. So it's okay. Like, what were those giant worm snakes?
The Kundali?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I thought like the part where like Jawe used Aran was actually kind of upset that, you know, Javert just used them like willy nilly.
Yeah,
like,
he was pissed.
Yeah, and it was like specifically like you. It's like it felt like apparently. I don't know. It came across to me like maybe like these Gundalis. Apparently, maybe they are like kind of irreplaceable because how he kind of used the language is like, oh, how it's like, well,
yeah,
Javert,
like,
what the
wasting,
hell?
How dare you waste wasting them? Gundali. Like, yeah. There's a hefty punishment for wasting those.
Yeah, so
Though wow. I think the bulk of what he was angry about was that Javert attacked Makoto without telling him.
Yeah.
Because Makoto is still his.
That was the wasting Kundali was just a fig leaf.
Yeah, it's...
But I think it would be leading to some interesting implications. Like,
once we get to Aaron's brother, I think then we'll start seeing more of that kind of politics side of things.
Yeah, like what the hell is going on over the ghost world? You know, the armies are there's demon snake things, worm snakes, polygon things.
Where's my ghost queen?
I think they say what the earth is going on in Ganma world, but you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that was my tangent.
Okay. Let's go. I like that you're keeping track of them now. let's go ahead and move into our prognostication territory. So I got to say, riffing on what I said earlier about Sionji's death, I'm pretty sure that Sionji got absorbed into the monolith. Like, that's what it looked like to me, not transported to the Ganma world, because we saw what that looked like with Makoto and Kinnon, and it looked totally different here. The man is an evil genius, apparently, so, like, what if he sciences up a way for him to amass power within the monolith and continue his plans? I think that would be amazing.
That would be cool. I mean, he did build it, so... Mm. Or I guess he built it. Or he was involved with some science with it, so he clearly knows how it works.
Right.
Yeah, that... You remember that artificial monolith thing? Man, what's gonna happen to that?
Maybe Sionji was trading icons with like Aaron for information on how to rebuild a monolith himself.
Maybe. What we do know is Takeru is quote-unquote dying next week, so judging by the episode preview, my main prediction is that I'm going to cry. Again. And it's not going to be pretty. But we do have all of the icons, and we have Makoto, and in the preview he does this whole resolving to fight for Takeru's will. And he's still got a belt. And I can imagine he wants to repay Takeru for saving Kanon. But, I mean, our God Eye thing has a glitch now, so what if we all have to go into the spirit world to get Takeru back?
Yeah.
And then do it. And, I mean, that would be some fun times for another 10 episodes or so until we have to go back to the world of the living and fight off whatever stuff Javert has dragged out while we were busy.
Yeah, yes. That
I mean, I'm
super cool.
I'm basically, you know, shooting my mouth off here. I ended up finding some stuff out about a little bit about what's coming due to an untagged post on some magazine scans.
Yeah.
Again, not 100% sure how I feel, but I trust this creative team, so I'm willing to wait and see. It's a thing that I'm not that into on paper, but if they execute it well, I can roll with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's hope. And yeah, I was also really surprised how Takeru was finally going to the other side this quickly. Like, I thought they were gonna maybe have like some episodes to like, oh, what are we gonna do now? I guess that, they are gonna do the whole, what are we gonna do now? Sort of post arc finale the sort of quiet time. Yeah, they're probably gonna do it next episode. Anyway, but there's one thing that I actually kind of like that I read on Tumblr. This was posted by a Diamond is Sparkling, and they had this idea, which is like, maybe what if for like the next couple of episodes, because we are seeing like Makoto saying that, oh, I am going to continue what Takeru has started, or, you know, something along that lines. What if we're going to do, like, this show is going to do the thing like the original writer show did, you know, the thing that no writer show since has ever repeated, where now, the writer we've been following will be, like, put on a pause, like, put aside, like, he'd be on hiatus, and we're going to focus on this other writer, as in, for the next, like, maybe something episode, it's going to be Spectre's story. Like, this is going to be Spectre's show.
And I love that so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of wanted to do that in Forze, but they just didn't have time because the Forze pacing was garbage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, clearly they wanted to do this whole big thing with everyone, you know, being angry at Meteor. Like, Meteor killed Forze, and now everyone's angry at him, and he has to cope with everything he's done, and this, that, and the other thing. I really don't know if they're gonna do that, just because Ghost is in the title.
Yeah.
And Toei likes money.
Yeah, that would be... But if they, by that slim chance, do it, it would kick ass. It would be awesome, because it's...
Might? I could also see that going really wrong.
I don't know. I think it would work really well, because for one thing, it helps that we have, like, built the character of Spectre beforehand, and we are kind of sufficiently familiar with him, like, whereas with, like, and the pace is really good, too, so this happens early on in the show so that it doesn't repeat the Meteor mistake that they don't have time for it, so, and the thing is, like, where, like, the original show, when they switched the protagonist from Hongo Takeshi from Rider 1 to Ichimonji Hayato Rider 2, it was really sudden. It's because it was basically out of production necessity, you know, the whole thing with Hiroshi Fujioka, the actor's injury, the original guy's injury. Yeah, so
the only good thing about that was the transition of the Ruriko episode. But still, that was really abrupt when you came back next episode and she's gone, and then
they're all gone.
Ichimonji comes in.
Yeah, Ruriko comes back in spirits, though, and she's really awesome in that, but yeah, it's just like, oh, where's everyone? Where's everybody? There's only Tachibana left.
It's just, I'm not completely convinced that the whole story could suddenly rest on Makoto.
Mm.
Because there's so much about the story that's not about him.
That's true.
I almost think, though, that him... I think they could do it for two episodes.
I definitely think it's something they could do very, very short term, where, like, he's like, I gotta do this, we gotta find a way to get him back.
Yeah. That would, too, like, if we are gonna still do, like, the icon collecting, because, you know, icons are Dragon Balls, essentially, now, so if they're still gonna do that, at least if it's, like, not this time, it's a different it's, like, different characters, it's Makoto and Kanon doing that, that already, like, pretty much smooths that out. It feels refreshing now, again. Because it doesn't feel as frustrating.
Yeah, it's just definitely not something I could see going any kind of long term, like more than three or four episodes at most.
Yeah. We don't really need that much episodes. Just like for a short while, we kind of had this situation, and to give time for like Spectre and Kanon to develop as characters, because that's kind of the thing. Like with secondary writers, because they don't really tend to like half the screen time that like.
Are you kidding? That was 10 episodes of Forze. 10 episodes of Forze were literally just Meteor.
Oh yeah,
that's what screwed Forze up.
Well, yeah. Well, not the sort of screen time that the hero had anyway.
Again, literally 10 episodes of Forze was just Meteor.
Well, yeah, okay.
I think Double did a really good job with Terui in that.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. Double was awesome with Terui.
Yeah. That's true.
I hated him at his introduction, and then I didn't understand him, and then I started to understand him, and then he became awesome, so.
I honestly thought he was a villain when the episode where he shows up at the end. I'm like, oh, this is our new villain. Look at that angry guy. And then the episode starts. I'm like, oh no, you're not evil. Okay, what?
I first saw him in the movie, and I first saw him in like the One Begins Night movie, or what was it called, the movie war thing, the first movie war, and it was like, who is this guy? And then next, why does he have an A logo? Why is it like a speed meter?
You understood.
Shortly after he shows up, Shroud starts showing up, and I got very, very distracted. but God, she is so good.
Mm. But yeah, it does seem like we are going to do some kind of new stories with the. We're gonna do some new stories like, we're just not going to always do the icon thing. Or if we are going to do the icon thing, I feel like we're probably going to do it like how Blade did, like, whole locking undead into cards thing, where it was kind of, it happens at the side, but it's not really the main thing. The main thing is, like, all these other story arcs, like the one, like, the whole, like, like, you know, the whole thing with the board, the whole thing.
Yeah,
with,
well,
like,
the whole thing with Mutsuki and Hikaru.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent the vast majority of Mutsuki's storyline being like, okay, I'm rooting for Tiger Planet now. we can just have the humans lose and have her win and have Tiger Planet. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, man, she kicked ass. She
I
was awesome.
I love her.
Yeah, she was awesome.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting back into our small amount of feedback, we just had one thing because I didn't want to solicit because there just wasn't enough time this week. I think I mentioned this fully to the audience already, so, you know, I'll stop now. I don't want to bore you. But we got one piece of feedback, and that was from Jason. And I'll go ahead and read this, and then you guys can react, and if I have anything to say, I'll add it. So Jason said this, hi, I don't have much positive to say about the latest episode. Aside from the scene where Takeru wishes, Kanan back to life, and the scene at the end between, Alan and, I'm gonna go Aaron and Javel, I feel like it was pretty rushed. Sanji died within the first minute or two without doing anything. The icons were recovered too quickly after it seemed like they were scattered across the entire city. The fight with, Javel ended abruptly, and the monsters were boring and defeated too quickly. They tried to cram a lot of stuff in, and as a result, they failed to hit the emotional parts for me. As I said, I liked the scene where Takeru made his wish, but the actual reunion acting in the reunion scene felt kind of forced, as did Makoto coming around as a result of Takeru's sacrifice and the very last scene of the episode. Personally, I would have preferred if this episode dealt with dealing with Sanji and ended with Takeru's wish being granted, though I admit that would have been hard to do since it seems that only one wish could be granted and Sanji couldn't get a wish because he lacked a belt. Then there's a parenthesis, which didn't really make sense as that hadn't been hinted at before. Close parentheses. At the very least, though, I would have spent more time on the reunion and cut out both the recovery of the icons and the monster fight. Hopefully the next episode will be better.
I have one thing to say, though, before we begin. It's not Javel. It's Javert. It's clearly meant to be Javert. Why do people call him Javel?
What is Javert. The significance of Javert? Because I just saw
I think people are calling him Javel because of the actual way that his name is written. Because Javert would... there's a way that the syllables would need to be.
Yeah.
Would it have to be like Javerto?
There's a certain like extending of a syllable that it would need to be for Javert. For that pronunciation. So I was discussing this with someone who had seen the name written out. But they are Aaron is saying it like Javert.
Mm.
Like I caught it specifically at the end of the episode where it really does sound like he's aiming for Javert.
It didn't sound like Javel. I can tell you that.
I agree with like preferring if the episode had been dealing with Sionji and ending with the wish. I can agree with that, but I disagree about so many other things here. All of the reasoning behind it, I disagree with.
I thought it didn't matter to me how the monsters were. I just like cool monsters, I guess. It's like that's like,
no,
that's
that was like... just an excuse for Captain Ghost for me.
Yeah, and honestly, to me, it didn't feel too up. I thought it took enough time for each of these things to happen that it didn't matter. It didn't really bother me, and plus, I thought the emotional parts, I thought were well done, and the acting was really good, that it did work out, even if it seemed a little, like, really quick. I, it just, I didn't really feel the same way is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I loved Makoto breaking down and crying when Takeru gets the wish, and Kanon being like, no, man, it's cool, I'm fine just being this eyeball. But just the acting in his crying I thought was really good. And what else? Like, the scene of them leaving at the end, I really liked. I was really into all of that. And again, like, I don't feel like Makoto ever wanted to hate Takeru. I feel like he really had to force himself to hate Takeru in order to fight him to try and save Kanon.
Mm.
Like, I don't feel like he ever wanted to hate him. I don't feel like he needed to forgive Takeru, because I don't think he was actually ever angry at him.
Mm.
He was just forcing himself to hate Takeru in order to get to his goal.
Yeah. He doesn't really hate Takeru. If he's angry at Takeru, he's not angry for something that's like, it's for reasons that is entirely not Takeru's fault. Like, he's more like expressing his anger towards, like, his entire situation, like, on Takeru, but it's not really on Takeru's fault.
Like, I feel like if Takeru had made the wish for himself, then Makoto would have gone over the deep end and actually hated him. But like, everything Makoto says, I don't think he actually ever believed.
Yeah, yeah. He's just, he has a lot of anger, and he's just, like, doesn't know where to...
It's not even that he has a lot of anger. He's just, I need to save Kanon, and I can't have feelings for anyone else right now, I'm not going to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Only through his anger and hatred can he save her, right?
Ah.
Sorry. do not hesitate, show no mercy. No, I definitely feel like you're hitting on something, Sona, that he was fronting, and that's what allowed him, as soon as the issue was over, to act friendly towards Takeru again, because she was safe, so there's no reason for him to bring himself to that point anymore.
Because, like, literally the first thing that happens is, why did you save her? Because I wanted to help her. And he says exactly the same thing he's been saying this whole time, like, aw, you're so naive, like, you're still the Takeru you've always been.
Mm.
And, like, he wants to go, he wants everything to be the way it was again. There's no way he believed anything he was saying.
And I think that that's really borne out by the performance, because before it was this mask of intensity and sternness, and that all that rigidity and tension is gone now. Like, the instant Kanon is back, he just seems a lot looser in the face, and I don't know if he was clenching his jaw the whole time previous that he was on screen or what, but just, like, there's an entire different air about him, and it's all because of that one thing. But it's like, it's a sudden shift that makes sense, because it's not really a shift, he's able to drop the front.
Yeah.
A lot of it is a lot of the same things that happened with Terry.
Mm.
I mean, it's happening much faster here.
Mm.
It took Terui into the mid-30s to reach this.
All right, well, do we have any more comments we want to make, or are we just going to go ahead and close out?
I was going to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you.
Yes, also, I'm going to put this out there, because we're hitting the end of the month. I'm quitting that terrible job I complain about a lot.
And congratulations!
Yes.
Yay!
And in doing such, going into business for myself. So if anyone has any custom patch needs, I'm taking orders for that. It doesn't have to be Toku stuff, but I'm doing a lot of Toku emblems for people. I think I'm going to be trying to do an Ankh arm. So if you need patches for, like, a jacket or a bag or whatever, you know,
hit me up.
I'm around.
Yeah, it's mamafriesmeal.tumblr.com, right?
Yeah, I'm Mama Fries Meal pretty much everywhere. Just drop me a line wherever. Let me know what you want.
Yeah. Well, actually, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa and all those other holidays that happen around this time.
Hanukkah's already over.
Oh, is it? I don't know how these things
work. Yeah, Hanukkah was very early this year.
Yeah.
It seems like...
I don't know how these things go. I'm not even Christian, so I don't even know why I'm celebrating Christmas.
Hanukkah is usually a lot closer to Christmas, but I think it started very early this year. I'm not Jewish, so I don't know what determines that.
There's a 19-year lunar slash solar cycle that every 11 times throughout the 19-year cycle, a month is added, and the time is adjusted. It's called Adar. There's a month of Adar, and then there's Adar 2, and they throw in Adar 2 so that everything lines up with the proper season, because the feasts are all based around agricultural stuff, but it's based on the lunar calendar, and so they have to fuse and combine the solar and lunar calendar and find the right difference so that when you're celebrating a spring festival, it's in the spring, and a harvest festival, it's in the harvest time, Hanukkah gets affected by that because it falls on Kislev 25, and that gets adjusted by all that stuff I just explained. So,
yeah, Chinese New Year's actually kind of operate on the same principle. It's not on a set day or month. It just kind of follows all these.
Isn't it when the moon is brightest? Or do I misremember that from...
I don't remember what the exact thing was, but it did have to do with the lunar calendar, too.
Yeah, right. I know it's a lunar calendar thing, and it's usually around March or April.
Okay,
sometimes it's late February, I think.
Yeah, happy all these holidays to everyone.
And just remember to be excellent to each other, right?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Always.
Solve all of your problems with hugging.
It's the best way to do it.
And crying is good. Remember that. Emoting
That's what I do a lot.
I think that's all we have left to say, so let's go ahead and get out of here, let everybody enjoy their holiday, and we'll be back before New Year's for another, well, hopefully we'll be back and have an episode out by, I guess it'd be January 1st, because we release typically on Fridays, but this one should come out on Monday, so hey, it'll be the 28th, sorry, but, you know, our wishes for your happiness are still here, so.
Yes.
Anyway. Alright, so, for the UncommonCast RX, I am Amit, and you can find me at Trial of Heroes or at UncommonRX on Twitter.
And I'm a Cannibal Saracenian, and you can find me on Tumblr called Cannibal Saracenian and on Twitter called C Saracenian. And do check my art blog too. The links are also on my Twitter and my main blog Tumblr page, so, happy holidays from here, too.
And I'm Sono. You can find me on both Twitter and Tumblr at Mama Fry's Meal. You can also find me on Twitter at Sono Your Face. Still taking orders for patches. Hit me up.
Indeed. All right, so goodbye, everybody.
Later.
Catch you next ghost.
Bye-bye.
You can reach us through the show's inbox, uncommoncastrx@gmail.com. You can keep track of what we're doing by checking out our Tumblr, uncommonrx.tumblr.com, or by following us on our website, trialofheroes.wordpress.com. The Uncommon Cast RX is part of the Toll Network, bringing you analysis with tea.